You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Today, we live at a unique point in human history where data is becoming the new currency. Beyond oil, dollars, and social status, data is emerging as one of the most powerful and consequential currencies around the globe. Technology, computer processing, cloud storage, and artificial intelligence are empowering these data to transform zeros and ones into insightful and even profound realizations about almost every aspect of our lives. I'm John Nosta.
And this is FutureDose.Tech. Technology, pharmacy, and better healthcare delivery. By creating more efficient, higher quality concierge like pharmacist services, we can transform from the pharmacist of yesterday into the future provider of pharmacy tomorrow. FutureDose.Tech is a member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, the global leader in pharmacy podcasting and the largest, most influential network of podcasts about the profession and business of pharmacy.
Hello, Pharmacy Podcast listeners. This is Dave Berkowitz, the host of Future Dose Tech. And today on the show, I have Ezreal Green from EsriRx. I'm really excited to have Ezreal here today. So my show, you may notice one of the themes is I like to bring on people who I find to be true disruptors. I like to, in a way, bring forth like the rookie cards, like people who are working behind the scenes to really make a difference in the pharmacy industry. And Ezreal is definitely one of those people. And I'm certainly, like I said, excited to have him on and share his platform with all of you today. So Ezreal, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Yeah, definitely. I was brought up in Brooklyn, New York. I've been entrepreneurial and business savvy probably since I'm a little kid. I started my first company when I was 18 years old. So I was still in high school, right out of high school. It was in the diabetic test strip space. We morphed from diabetic test strips into medical devices, but my heart was always building tech, building sites, being in the internet age and doing things online. Approximately 5 years ago, I was in a local pharmacy in Brooklyn, New York, and I noticed this massive stack of papers sitting on a shelf, and I was like, what are these papers? And he's like, oh, this is how the wholesalers send us deals. And I was like, wait, what do you mean deals? They said, yeah, they actually fax us flyers and we pick out the deals that they have in it and then we call them. And I was like, isn't there a simpler solution for creating some form of a price comparison shopping site? And they were like, no, there isn't. So that's where the initial idea started coming up of EsriRx. And being that I was a tech kid, I was like, this has to be simplified a lot. So I started doing research to see if there was ways of building a Amazon-style marketplace that will enhance the lives of pharmacies. And what happened was that as I started building it, I started noticing that there were other platforms out there that did a basic Craigslist shopping-style site where they allowed for wholesalers to list products on the platform and the pharmacies could come online. Do a quick price comparison and then have the relationship be off of the actual site itself. So the next time I walked into pharmacies and I asked again, I was like, wait, if you guys have such a website, what are all these papers doing again? And they said, well, now we don't have the actual flyers anymore, but we have all these invoices and statements from these wholesalers that were buying. So they said, wait, you guys literally just went from buying from single source. Now you have multi-source vendors. But rather than you having the ability to pay for your purchases online, they now every single one will invoice you independently. And you have to send a check to them. And they said, yeah. So basically we are now saving money on our purchases, but the time that we saved has to now go towards monthly bills and paying checks. And I was like, wait, this is way too old school. There has to be a really simple, stupid system where pharmacies can have a full ecosystem of of opening up new accounts with wholesalers, shopping those wholesalers, getting a line of credit from them, and actually paying for the purchases in one simple solution. So in reality, what we try to create is a experience for the pharmacy and really make that experience really, really enhanced through features. So it was experience first, feature second, that will really make the lives of the pharmacies a lot simpler, better, and more in tune with the with technology of the 21st century that is available to most consumers online today. And this is the initial idea of how the EzuRx model was born, and that's what we created.
Yeah, I don't work in community pharmacy. I've never used the platform, but I've gotten demos a bunch of times, and I have to agree that having seen the demo is what I loved about how you approach the problem is you approach it from a user-centric viewpoint. And I noticed some like really neat sort of essentially what I saw you what you've created is ways in which you solve user problems. So along those lines, can you talk to me about what are some of the core features behind EzuRx?
Yeah. So what we really try to do is that we try to skin what existed out there and kind of build on top of that and see that what were the bottlenecks that pharmacies were required to do in a regulated space and see how we could innovate on those little pieces. So the first thing that we did is that we noticed that the customer application process, which is a mandatory process for pharmacies, takes a very long time. Wholesalers would fax or email their applications off to pharmacies. They would then fill it out by pen and paper and then email or fax it back. And I was like, wait, these days we have e-signature. There are companies out there like HelloSign that will literally have all the information pre-filled. So we took that process that generally took 30 minutes to do, and we made it into a 2 or 3 minute process. That was thing number one that we did. Thing number two is that when a pharmacy would like to make a payment for purchase, so every wholesaler extends a line of credit to each pharmacy so that they don't have to pay for the purchase right then and there. They can pay for the purchases net 15, 30, 60, 90, all dependent on that individual pharmacy and the wholesaler that they're buying from. Thing number three that we did is that we added modern payment systems onto the site. So the same way there are sites like Venmo or PayPal that they add a bank account onto the actual site itself, or basically link your checking or savings account onto the actual account itself, we utilized those same technology backends so that pharmacies can actually add a bank account or credit card onto the site so that when their terms are up, they can actually pay for the purchases through the actual site itself. Now, this is the main three core functionalities of how the site operates. But in terms of features itself, we really went piece by piece by piece. We know that when pharmacies call wholesalers and reps call pharmacies, there is that haggle that happens, and there is they'll take 24 pieces and try to get a better deal. We basically built a best offer feature that is similar to the eBay best offer model that essentially allows for a pharmacy to haggle with a wholesaler and for a wholesaler to counter offer that deal and basically give a pharmacy a better deal if they take a higher quantity of products. We built out a short dated feature. We built out a geolocation-based feature, which this is a really, really cool system. So the geolocation-based feature is something that we know that pharmacies need their medications pretty much overnight. And it's super important for them to have it like super quickly. But in reality, if you're buying from a primary, you can literally, they basically put the drugs into a tote and they can deliver a dollar drug for the same price that they're sending a $1,000 drug. But when you're buying from a secondary wholesaler, every wholesaler has to ship that package in a box, ship it via a FedEx or another courier. So so there is a cost to that. And when a pharmacy has to add carts for every single one to hit an order minimum, that could get very, very costly. So what we did is that we essentially took the zip code of where the pharmacy is in relation to the zip code of the wholesaler is, and basically said that, wait, if the package is within a zone that can get to this pharmacy by next day through ground shipping, there is no reason for them to hit that overnight shipping minimum, and therefore it's going to save them a lot of money. So that's on the geolocation based. We then went ahead and basically built a whole bunch of small little nuanced stuff of making sure that pharmacies only buy from NABP wholesalers, making sure that pharmacies get a bigger bang for their buck, and not that we're just lowering the price of goods, you know, but not offering them a way for them to actually get those deals. We did so many little pieces that enhance the lives of pharmacies as they're going through the purchases every single day.
Do you get, so if I was a community pharmacy out there, I was listening to this podcast, an owner of a community pharmacy, independent, I hadn't heard of your platform, why would I, what's your, like your sort of sales pitch, and could you provide me with any sort of metrics on how customers are successfully using your platform?
Yeah, it's straight off the top, we can say is that pharmacies that are using AzureX save approximately 30% month over month. That is a hands down number that we can say. Now, obviously it's not going to be guaranteed for 110% of pharmacies, but certain ones have these really crazy contracts and deals, and they're grandfathered in, and they're different in nature, and they need certain drugs that we may not carry. But overall, for a standard independent pharmacy, the mere fact that we are creating a marketplace, which is a competitive, you know, area for wholesalers, that in order for them to get your business, they have to be cheaper than the next person. Ultimately, you know that you're getting the biggest bang for your buck when you're shopping for drugs. Now, in terms of your agreements that you have with your primaries, your contracts that you have, your GCRs, all your ratios and stuff like that, even if you, you know, combine all those numbers into your end bottom line, we can still show you how you can save dollar for dollar by joining our system, and not really joining our system, by really taking advantage of our system and truly utilizing it for the best of your ability and save that kind of money.
You mentioned some contracts, and can you go into detail about, from my list, some of them might be hospital-based, like what is a normal independent pharmacy? Do they contract out with like a group purchasing organization? Like what kind of contracts are they obliged to follow?
So it's really pharmacy dependent and who the primary is and what GPO they're kind of locked into. Something which is interesting to note is that there are a lot of pharmacies that are joining GPOs. And at the onset, it is a smart thing for them to do because they're essentially joining together with a larger group of people that are buying together. But ultimately, we are doing the exact opposite. We're essentially saying is that don't lock into a contract. Don't essentially assume that because you're buying with a lot of people, you are just going to be getting a better price, because that's not always true. What ends up happening is that when you're locked into a contract, they now have a certain level of control over you. And they'll tell you is that, listen, buddy, you got to hit a certain GCR, a certain generic compliance ratio, and essentially buy more generics that may be overpriced because you want a better deal on your brands. We flipped that model on its head and said, listen, when you're shopping Amazon, when you're shopping eBay or shopping any e-commerce site, what happens is that model reverses itself. It's that if you get enough pharmacies together, the wholesalers want to now join you, and therefore they're going to lower their prices just to win your business, and not that they're going to lock you into that model and now you're stuck. Mm-hmm. So it's a battle really that we constantly deal with, of pharmacies saying, yeah, I'm locked into my contract and therefore I can't buy separate. And that's a conversation to be had, and saying, okay, listen, let's take a look at your deal. Let's see what you are realistically, you know, buying every month. And one important key factor is to see what extra products are you buying every month just to hit your minimum that you're essentially overpaying. And it's not beneficial to you. You're essentially locked into this mindset of, oh, I'm going to get a rebate. There's a discount for my brands. There are so many different nuanced things that I am getting better. But in reality, once you take a look at the actual bottom line, you're losing money based on the overages, based on the stuff that you're not using, based on the stuff that, you know, that are simply not streamlined in that process that we try to streamline every day.
What now, if I had... would I have the ability as a user to say, I know this is my contracted price, can I compare it to a price on your site?
Yes, so really easily. So we built something called the purchase order upload feature, which is pretty innovative in nature. We essentially allow for a pharmacy to build an order in their primary site. And prior to them submitting it at the end of the day, they can download that purchase order either via CSV, PDF, or other methods, they can upload it onto Esri Rx, and we're going to have a live price comparison between the price that they're paying with their rebate included versus the price that that is listed from the vendors on Esri Rx. If the price is cheaper by us, we win and the pharmacy wins. If the price is cheaper there, then the primary wins and the pharmacy wins again. So essentially, it's a win-win solution. Either way, the pharmacy turns. So they basically build our order. They almost complete the order. And prior to them pressing submit, they'll do a super quick price comparison model. And now we'll see dollar for dollar who's better on every single molecule that they're shopping.
Amazing. That's very cool. I hadn't seen that before. Now, what one of the things, I'm an inpatient pharmacist by background, and one of my biggest pain points is always dealing with shortages or perhaps like a non-formulary med that was hard to find. How can the customer, your customers work with your platform to either like shop for things on shortages or also maybe find things? What if it's not even on your platform? How do they go about getting a drug on your platform that they're not seeing?
Oh, that is a very interesting question, actually. So first of all, from shortages to products that are now found from the primary, the chances are is that if you're going from a single source vendor, the for them not to have it in stock goes up. When you're searching from many different wholesalers, somewhere someone is going to have that product. So, having 25 wholesalers on a site, and we have pretty large wholesalers, and they may have that product at potentially even a better price than what you paid from your primary. So that is thing number one. Now, in regards to products that are not found online, we created something called the product request feature, which is something which literally launched last week, which allows for a pharmacy to say, hey, I'm not finding this product for my primary. Is there anyone else in the US, whether it is another pharmacy or wholesaler, do you have it on your shelf and you're not using it, but I didn't need it for my patient? Or could the wholesaler get it and therefore sell it to this individual pharmacy? So essentially, it's a place where they can come to market and reverse the system and essentially say is that, oh, you're listing 65,000 items. I need one other product that is not listed, but the wholesale could potentially get it, or a pharmacy somewhere has that item. So the way that the model works is that a pharmacy will come onto SVRX, search for a drug. If it's not listed, they can hit product requests. They can add a new product onto the list. And that list gets sent off to all the wholesalers and or some pharmacies that have the ability to sell to them in their state. And other pharmacies that may also need that product could subscribe to that listing. And then once that item is listed on the platform, all the pharmacies that want that item suddenly get a notification email or text and says that item has been added and now you can actually shop that product. So it really gives a way for anyone, whether you're just a regular pharmacy, inpatient pharmacy, or a long-term care pharmacy looking for a certain item that is not available, chances are is that we may have it from some vendor that is licensed in all 50 states, or you can ask for them to get it, or you can basically say is that, does anyone else in the US have this drug and can I get this drug from you? Because there is a shortage, I have patient need, and I basically could take advantage of the product that might go to waste if it's not going to be had.
Yeah, as we saw during COVID, medication shortages were a huge problem. And I've always sort of felt like certain medications, maybe not everything, that they should be considered sort of like the electrical grid, where you know where all these critical meds are located, and you are able to get them for whatever they may be. Because the thing about shortages is, you might not have the drug, but your neighbor across the street might have tons of it because they're hoarding it. And having an easy way to identify where these drugs are being stored and where the usage is or the demand is the most, and being able to move it sounds like totally necessary. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but who knows how COVID is going to go. But for critical times and during pandemics, the ability to move medications from place to place of where their need is so important. And it's, you know, personally, it's something I don't think that we recognize as a need as much as it really is. Is that what you described? Is that the same thing as RPH to RPH?
No.
So, okay, so I saw that feature, and talk to me a little bit about that feature.
Yeah. So now these are two different. They're kind of polar opposites. It's not really polar opposites, but they work hand in hand with each other. Actually, product request is essentially a product that is something that is not listed on the actual marketplace. But in reverse, a pharmacy may have products on their shelf that are going to expire, or that a pharmacy locally may need for today for a patient that they can't get from their primary, or it's something that they bought for a patient that perhaps may have died, but they unfortunately cannot return it to the primary because they'll pay very high restocking fee, or the returns companies are generally not as reliable as pharmacies would like them to be. So we essentially built a pharmacy-to-pharmacy marketplace that essentially allows for a pharmacy that has extra stock to sell it to another pharmacy within their state. And this is something which since we launched, I think we launched it about a month and a half ago, has been a wild ride. So many pharmacies have opted in to sign up and essentially post the stuff that they had sitting on their shelves for a while already that they had no patient for. And the pharmacy literally down the block from them had a patient that could have used it that day. And now they have the ability now to shop it at a better deal than what their primary would charge, but they can now get it from someone local that you know is a licensed pharmacy because they're literally, you know, 2-3 blocks away from you. And they're a vetted pharmacy. And now you can literally get those products at a fraction of what you buy it for on a standard basis. And this is something which is a highly regulated space. So mm-hmm. obviously it's not an easy game for someone to just, you know, buy from someone else. And it took us a long time until we really figured out all the nuances of what we were allowed and what we are not allowed to do. And the end result is that we launched it in a handful of states. We restricted the sale to be only state within state because we couldn't find any justification to allow for a pharmacy to wholesale and ship a product between one state to another. And we made sure with every single state board of pharmacy, whether it's legal in that state or not. And once we, you know, really hashed out all those details, we put it out to market and pharmacies have been loving it. It's a simple fee solution because you're buying it from someone that's local. It's really quick to get. It's a very easy system for you to add products. And again, go through that entire hurdle of pharmacies trying to haggle with you and try to get a better deal for that drug. And then ultimately, if you're the seller, you'll have the ability to get a shipping label and have a UPS pickup done for you straight through the site. And for a buyer, all the information that you need on that packing slip to cover all your DCSA legalities that you need are all on those packing slips. And it's done in a very, very streamlined system.
I do have a follow-up on DCSA, but before I get to that, that's kind of what I was trying to say is like, we can expand the supply chain by thinking of where the drug lives as part of the entire continuum of the supply chain, not just thinking of the only place you can get drugs is your distributor. And that's like, and this is another sort of pet peeve of mine is that drugs have a shelf life, right? And if they don't get used up, they end up in a landfill someplace. Some of them might be able to be recycled, but for the most part, they end up in a landfill, and that's just like not good for the environment. So the idea that we're just like letting drugs sit out there with no sort of solution to getting them to a place where they could get used up has always sort of bothered me. So I'm like thrilled to hear that you guys are working on that. My follow-up for that specific feature is how do the prices get set?
Yeah, so when it comes to a branded pharmaceutical, we make sure that a pharmacy that is selling it lists it at a minimum of 8% off of wholesale acquisition cost, and on a generic 20% off of AWP.
Got it.
This is just a way for a pharmacy to say, well, I may as well go to my primary and get it, you know, and kind of get it at a similar deal. We're saying is that, oh, I could actually save some money and therefore get it from someone locally and have it go to a patient the same way that I could get it from my primary. And then the same thing from a selling side is that we don't want pharmacies to get, you know, really greedy. We kind of want them to, you know, take a little loss on something that sat on your shelf for a while and wasn't used, but you still have the ability to not have to return it or have it go through a returns company and therefore mm-hmm. lose more. You know, you'll still make enough, and you're really going to be helping out a pharmacy and patient at the end of the day by not sending it back to a wholesaler or a returns company in tow.
Love it. Very cool. If I was a pharmacy thinking of joining your platform, how could I be confident that all the vendors that I'll be working with are selling me like real goods? You know, they're not counterfeit. And how can I be confident that I'm going to be DSCSA compliant?
Yeah. So as far as us vetting every wholesaler, at the moment we're only allowing wholesalers that are A, licensed in all 50 states or a majority of states. We are making sure that they are NEBP accredited. That's a total story for itself. So you know that if they are accredited, then you know chances are is that they are doing all the right things. And we also make sure that they are DSCSA compliant, which essentially means is that every wholesaler has to connect with us by EDI, and will essentially get their 856 and build in that pedigree document right onto the site itself. If not, then they'll use a third party pedigree solution that will essentially give a pharmacy pedigree for every single order that they place on the site. Now, a pharmacy can either ask for it on every order and they can do it one by one, or they can, you know, have a setting that will update every single order with the pedigree of the actual item. So that's the T3 documents, and we have a hosted solution on the actual site itself that will give pharmacies a place where they can download all the reports, find their documents, and basically know exactly where that drug came from, and to verify that this came from a real place and that it's not counterfeit.
You mentioned EDI. What specific, I think you said 856, what specific message is that? Is that the T3 documentation?
So the 856 is the ship notice. So,
okay.
And included in it is the attestation of the fact that the wholesaler is attesting to the fact that this came from a good source, they're shipping it to this pharmacy, and here's the lot number, here's the traceability of the product, and that gives confidence to the buyer that they're getting exactly what they asked for.
Got it. I haven't worked with an 856 before. Talk to me about, so I'm on your platform and I want to purchase something, but what I don't sort of understand is how do I know, I don't see distributors to be that real time. I mean, maybe they probably are when I interface with them directly, but how often are you getting uploads of what they have in stock versus like, what's the delay? Could someone ever like order a product and then they don't actually have it anymore because there's been a delay in you getting that information? And how does sort of all the communication work?
Yeah. So the interconnectability between us and wholesalers is something which is harder than dealing with 5,000 pharmacies is dealing with 20 drug wholesalers. And that's really the case. Every single one of them has their own system, has their own
yeah.
method. And quite frankly, EDI is the oldest technology in existence today for dealing with file sharing. It's so old school that it's a real shock that the healthcare space still uses that information. It kind of boggles my mind, but I'm not too surprised, because who's going to be the first one to really change and basically take the plunge and shift it away from EDI to moving over to modern day APIs of basically having a live webhook and basically to have data flowing from a wholesaler to a pharmacy. But, you know, that question really stems from which hospital is willing to switch over a system and take that plunge so that a primary distributor can follow and subsequently, you know, make a change in the full system. So we work with three different solutions. We work with EDI, of course, which essentially allows for farms, for a wholesale to send us an 832 file. And they'll send it to us as many times a day as they need. And we'll update their inventory on the actual site itself. The better system that wholesalers have begun opting into is to have a webhook, which essentially allows us to ping their inventory live while the pharmacy is searching for the product so that we can know for sure if the item is in stock, the price is the same, and they have, you know, every unit that the pharmacy wants. And the third option is for a wholesaler to upload a CSV file onto the site as often as possible. Now,
I'm just laughing. That sounds like so complicated. Three different ways to communicate with distributors.
Correct. So yes, for us, it's extremely, you know, tedious in nature, but we are trying to steer everyone to be API, of course, because it's such an easy connection process. And your I wouldn't say order defect rate, but your order cancellation rate goes down significantly. As of now, I think we have a 99.5% order ship rate and a very, very low drop-off rate. So usually when you're shopping through us, because of the fact that we just made sure to hammer out that wholesalers, you know, must send us inventory with a minimum of five pieces, you know, and not really wait until they go down to the zero. Make sure to integrate, you know, through our API, and it's something which we hammer out every single time that we, you know, just please try to innovate as much as possible, because whether or not, you know, they're going to be utilizing it today, we're confident that somewhere down the line they will be forced to actually use APIs, because somewhere, you know, someone somewhere is going to be innovating and essentially making that change across the board. And if they're going to want to stay with the times, they are going to have to shift over from EDI files and basically move over to live APIs. It's just the way of the future, and you are not going to be able to be a player if you're not going to innovate on your internal technology that you have. So yes, it is a very tedious process, but it's something that we constantly work on and try to make better, and try to have conversations, you know, to see how we can, you know, force that change and therefore have their systems, you know, be better.
Yeah, I'll add some clarity for my listeners who don't understand what we're talking about, but if you haven't, please go back and listen to some of my other podcasts where I harp about why the pharmacy, just not even pharmacy, but the health tech stack needs to be pretty much only API based. But, you know, an API is sort of like making a phone call. You ask somebody a question, you get an answer, versus an EDI, which is sort of like mailing a letter. And that's why I was asking a question about, is the actual inventory the vendor has on hand actually still there? Because those one-way directional messages may not be, they're probably not going to be in real time unless you happen to have just ping the site when you had that immediate upload. But same thing with the CSV. They only come probably a couple times a day. I don't know how often they come. But I liked how you sort of solved that problem anyway, because you don't let vendors report when they have like super low inventory. So that kind of solves the problem anyway. But thank you for sharing. That really validates my cognitive bias towards API. So this is the type of conversation I love having. Moving on to, I had a question about, so I have this platform. What if I try to be sneaky and I'm like, oh, I see it's cheaper there. What if I just go direct to that distributor? How do you prevent somebody from circumventing your platform?
So in reality, that is a very big problem. It's a problem that Yes. So something that we deal with constantly is pharmacies that will think that they can ultimately get a better deal. But in reality, the time that they're wasting by shopping each individual wholesaler and calling them is already money lost. Just think about a pharmacist, yeah, you know, that has patients that they have to deal with, and is someone that is hammered out with phone calls all day. Creating a system where everything is listed there for you is something that it takes the pain away from purchasing and therefore saves you money. Now, in reality, what starts happening is that what they don't realize is that when they'll shift over purchases here and not call that rep and not basically try to haggle, they'll essentially be helping everybody because that product now becomes a more favorable product. Therefore, more wholesalers join on it. The price naturally becomes lower and therefore helps everybody in the full ecosystem. When they think that they're being, conniving and just using the site as a shopping site and therefore, calling up the wholesale and not actually transacting, it's a selfish way of thinking, and it's going to hurt them in the long run. Because ultimately, when there's a give and take, we have the ability to do more for them and help them out and basically innovate on that system, and they have the ability to help us by growing this community, which are essentially working together as a whole in order to lower drug pricing and actually get a better price. So it's counterintuitive to what we're trying to do. It certainly happens, and we're aware, and we try to do as much as possible to stop circumvention, kind of in its tracks. And we also, have a team that, ultimately looks at every single pharmacy's searches that they're doing, just to make sure that they're not just, building a data feed and basically pulling it off the site and then somehow using it against us. It's been very effective so far.
Yeah, that's a strong argument. That makes a lot of sense. Like, work together to keep prices low. But if you're out there doing that, don't do that. That's not ethical.
Yeah. Yes.
Just don't do that. That's not cool. In terms of like usability for say like a pharmacy technician, do you have the ability to, if I want to sort of at the end of the day place my order for what I needed to get from my pharmacy, is there a mobile app or anything that I can just sort of walk the shelves and like do like real-time price shopping?
Yes, we actually built a mobile site that if you ever use like the Amazon app, they have the ability to just scan any UPC. You can actually do the same thing with us, is that you can use your iPad or iPhone and literally go from shelf to shelf to shelf to shelf and actually just scan every drug, find the cheapest price and add it to your cart. Which is interesting is that we probably launched it, I think, 8 or 9 months ago. And since we launched it, we believe that we probably should have done it sooner because of how many pharmacies actually use mobile. And that just goes with the common themes that the younger pharmacies out there, the more tech savvy pharmacies are just sick of the old way and are shifting over to the new way. And the fact that we're trying to be as tech savvy as possible and kind of, revolutionize on those, things that they do daily, that just, drives more of the future of pharmacy towards utilizing systems that will benefit them in the long run. So while, GPOs are the current way, Esri Rx is the new way. And that's what they're seeing and that's what they're telling us, is that we can't ever imagine just shopping from a single source vendor. That makes no sense. And they're also getting smarter. From a pharmacy perspective, the way that they worked 10 years ago is that they'll call their wholesaler and ask for a drug. And if the drug is not available from them, they will literally wait a week until that vendor gets it back in stock. And now they'll say, well, if you don't have it, I'm going somewhere else. And we really opened up those gates, but it's not really us that founded this concept. It's the Amazon model. Mm-hmm. We will make sure to find that drug by hook or by crook. If you're not the best, you're not getting it. If you're not highly ethical, if you're not reviewed highly, if your order defect rate is high, we are going to go to the next best. And that's what every new age and younger pharmacist coming out of school knows. This is second nature to them, and that's who we're here for. So we're not really looking for the today's pharmacist. We're kind of looking for the next 10 years of pharmacy, 15 years of pharmacy, and seeing how we can literally stay ahead of the game at every single turn possible.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. The even like older folks like me, I consider myself digitally native. I mean, I expect these type of features and functionalities from my tech. And up until recently in healthcare, it's not there. And I'm really sort of inspired and excited to hear about all these things you're working on. I have like one last question before we wrap up. What's next for Esri RX? What are your, some of your, can you share any of your future plans?
We actually have a lot going on. The predominant space that we're trying to innovate on now is on the long-term care and smaller chain pharmacy. A lot of the technology that we know needs to be innovated is on the purchasing systems of entities that have teams of buyers, have teams of accounts payables that are really built into the old school system. And we don't blame them for it, because while we're innovating on a pharmaceutical perspective, OTC, HBA, there's still a whole bunch of medical supply stuff that that these teams have to be there for. So therefore, they can't really change from today to tomorrow. And a lot of the stuff that we built are really for a new age pharmacy, you know, that gets the full payment model and could utilize it. So what we're doing is that we're creating a hybrid solution that will work for both. It's going to work for the independent pharmacy, but will also work for a larger pharmacy in nature. So either outpatient, inpatient, or a long-term care facility that orders a lot of drugs and needs to slow it down a little bit and, you know, integrate more with the systems that they need. And we're super, super close to really putting out a technology that will really, really, really change the game from a long-term care, from a hospital, from chain pharmacy perspective, and really, really make life so, so, so simple for all the buyers across that entire pharmacy ecosystem that they currently have. So it's going to be, it's very radical. And that's what we really focused the second half of 2021 on, is to really go after and find the pain points that the larger entities have, seeing how we can make life better for them, see how we can innovate on the old solutions that existed and bring on the wave of the future and show them how they can really get the biggest bang for the buck, save time, and really, you know, it's not rocket science. It's really taking stuff that is out there already for the standard consumer and bringing it in to the healthcare space, the hospital space, the actual pharmacy space, and making sure that the pharmacy gets the drug for the best price as quick as possible so they can service their patient. And basically, let us focus on the pharmacy, let them focus on the patient. And that's ultimately what our real goal is that we'll take care of all your hardships, all your nuances, you know, all the stuff that have to be done right. And you do what you do best. You take care of the patient, make sure that they're taking their, you know, getting their stuff on time, taking it properly, having all the questions answered, and we'll take care of everything that you need to do.
Love it. Well, I'm sold, clearly. I'm excited to watch your progress. I'm excited for you and your team. Like I said, I'm excited to watch your growth and see what you guys can accomplish. I'm sold, but like, how, if I was a community pharmacy out there, how could they become part of your platform? How could they reach out to you guys?
So it's really, really, really simple. Go to esrirx.com, you know, of course, there is a sign up button, and something which we really did, which is also really cool, is that we partnered with NCPDP. So essentially, if you know your NCPDP number and your zip code, we'll essentially link all your information and, you know, kind of pre-fill all your information there already. So the sign up process is literally, it's a free system, takes under 2 minutes to sign up, and you can literally be buying drugs later today, pending that your licenses are up to date. And that you filled out all the customer applications, which also is a super, super simple process. You can literally be on your way to savings right away. So it's esrirx.com, sign up, and you are golden.
Awesome. All right, well, I want to thank you for being on here, Esriel. I really appreciate
thank you, David.
It. Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. So listeners out there, if you're a community pharmacy or any other markets that EsriRx is getting into, you know how to get in touch with them. And I highly recommend checking out their platform, because I'm personally very impressed by it. And I really do believe it will solve a lot of your pain points in terms of ordering meds, and also in addition to improving ordering meds, it gets the meds you need for your patients and helps you focus on education or, making sure they comply with the medications, et cetera. So thanks again. And until next time, thanks, Pharmacy Podcast listeners.
Thank you for listening to FutureDose.Tech. If you enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast on your favorite social media outlets. Be sure to stay connected to the Pharmacy Podcast Network and return for your next FutureDose.Tech episode coming soon.